Students in secondary schools and universities are being trained on peace building in Juba by the new Gen Peace Builder, a global award-winning peace education training and mentoring program that equips young people to build peace in their communities, countries, and the world. Joining me now to tell us more about the program in South Sudan is the organization's executive director, Patricia Sheffer, and also one of the trainees, Nelson Jada Jacob, who is who has benefited from the program. And so you're welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here this morning on a beautiful morning in Juba, and of course to be with Radio Mariah and the breakfast program where you make big conversations happen. Thank you.
Oh, yes. You are quite well read on that. Jacob, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad to be here as a youth representative and also a peace ambassador who have benefited from the new Gen Peace Building back in 2019, and right now I am also trying to, you know, to extend the knowledge that I got to other young people who are in secondary schools and then also universities. So I'm happy to be here.
Thank you, Jacob, and for Patricia for coming. Patricia, can I ask you, is this your first time in South Sudan?
No, I've had the good pleasure of coming to South Sudan on and off for 10 years. First, in a program called Mothering Across Continents, in which we provided scholarships to students to go to secondary school and university and also support primary schools. And then out of that, actually was able to start bringing our peace-building work to South Sudan, too.
Okay, tell me about this peace-building program, this specific one. When did it start and how long has it been equipping young people in peace-building?
Well, it officially started in 2014 because I am the senior fellow for peace education at the Alliance for Peace Building and also an Institute for Economics and Peace Global Peace Ambassador. But with the support of Rotary International, which is a worldwide service organization with very strong Rotarians here in South Sudan, we started the program generally in 2014. And since that time, we have been in 15 states in the United States and 18 countries.
Okay, that's really good. And how many so far have been trained in South Sudan?
In South Sudan, as my friend Nelson said, we had a cohort here in 2019, and we were in the midst of the cohort, and we're going to continue our training, and then, of course, COVID broke out. So we had about 80 students in the program then, but in the current program that we're running, which we are very excited about and have so much to say, we have about 92 participants in high school and university.
Wow. And I know that you already did one of the parts of the training last weekend, and you're yet to do another this weekend. Last weekend, how many were able to attend?
Almost everyone, about the 92 students who were registered, plus their volunteer mentors. And I have to say, one of the things I love most about doing the work in South Sudan is that students are eager, their teachers are eager, and so we get full participation.
Okay, good. Jacob, you've benefited from this. Tell me what the training is all about. What did you learn?
Well, thank you. You know, when we hear about peace, what comes into people's mind is that, oh, people are going to be trained on how to resolve only, conflict in a peaceful means, like telling, hey, stop fighting and that's it. But out of the training, there's some new ways and then types of peace that I have learned, like the positive peace and then the negative peace. So a lot of things that I have learned from the training is it's not, you know, all about signing document, but they're, you know, reaching out to that emotional part of human to change the mindset of that person, you know, to start living in a peaceful way.
You mentioned positive and negative peace. Could you just expound on that?
Yeah, so when we talk about negative peace, you know, that's where, okay, people stop fighting and be like, oh, we are at peace now, you know, maybe two parties or at home, a mother is stop beating a child or you know, in the street, you know, there's no more gang robberies and all this. So people, sometimes people think that's peace. And that is where it's the negative piece. But the positive piece is when now people move from that level of saying, hey, now there is no fighting. What next? Are people still hungry? Is the economy okay? When someone sleep out, because like here in South Sudan, then you can sleep out. It's good. But right now, it's somehow hard to sleep outside. So what the positive piece is when people start having food, water, clean water to drink, mental health issues being addressed, youth leadership programs are taking place to develop the young ones. So these are some of the positive piece.
Okay, so what I'm getting is that when conflict ends and just ends, and that's not exactly peace or the actual peace that is needed. It needs to develop the country. It needs to come from the heart. It needs to go all the way down to the individual. All right, you talked about sleeping outside. My first experience in Juba was sleeping outside. I was both excited and scared at the time. But eventually it became normal for me, and I actually liked it because it was very hot and outside was good. Patricia, could you maybe share more on what the trainings are? I know Jacob has said that what he has learned, but then why are you using this approach for peace building? Why this specific approach, especially given our context where there's still conflict, there's still communal violence?
Yeah, well, first of all, I would like to acknowledge that everybody in the world, in all countries, has been called on by the United Nations to try and develop a culture of peace. And it's actually the United Nations who has said one of the things we can do is put young people at the center of helping build stronger and more resilient communities. In terms of the way we do the program and why we do it with young people, I am a Rotary Peace Fellow, which means about every year 100 people from around the world are chosen to go through a very specialized program of being able to coach people to develop peace projects. And there's actually a process and tools that you use to help teams of young people develop peace projects that can make a difference in their community. How we go about it in the program, well, let's see. We have this thing called 7 H's, and the 7 H's are hello, hope, harm, healing, heart, head, and hands. So we take the participants through each of the steps of getting to know each other, defining their hopes for peace in their communities, then identifying places where there are violence or upset or harm, identifying places where there is healing occurring, and there could be more healing occurring. Then we actually invite them to understand facts and data so that they can use their heads to develop good projects. Always bring their heart to the process by really understanding the suffering or the difficulties of the people that they're trying to serve. And then last but not least, shape a peace project.
So it's not just about giving them the knowledge, but asking them to also act everything out.
What a great question. And I think I would really like to have Jacob have an opportunity to talk about that, because even in the training itself, this is not a training where somebody who is a supposed peace builder stands up and says to a group of 100 people, this is how you build peace. It's very interactive. It's very hands-on. And it really is what's thought of as peace as a way of solving problems in our communities. And so getting an action is really important. So, Jacob, did you want to say anything about the process?
Yes, Jacob, please go ahead.
Yeah, you know, the process is quite interesting because, you know, you have all the students, you know, try to find what they share in common in a training. See, like, for example, people who share the same, like, food. So you have them team up together, and you have also them again going to also maybe move around, look for like teammates who share maybe a song. So that itself shows that, you know, for the younger generation, it's all about communication, you know, going out. That teaches us how to go out, communication, and advocate for peace. Yeah.
Okay, that's actually really good. Now, is there something tangible that you've done since 2019 with this knowledge that you got?
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to say, you know, I have joined the Rotary family from when I was still in high school. So I was then an interactor. So when I joined the university, I became a Rotaractor, and now I am a Rotarian. So Rotary basically focus on, you know, peace building. So one thing that I myself in Rotary do in the past, let's say 7 years, is I go to schools personally with, and then I talk to them on how to bring peace, on leadership skills, and then also I have you know, managed to organize couple of trainings, like the one which is running right now with NewGen. So I have been coordinating the project. So all in all, it's just what I've been doing is trying to open ways to my fellow youth to, you know, to get that opportunity of getting knowledge, and then, you know, build their capacity in order to bring peace. Yeah.
All right, that's actually really, really good. When I come to you, Patricia, just finally, when the trainings happen, you have one on this weekend and one on the other weekend. Normal trainings happen day after day after day, and then it's done. Why is that?
Oh, that's a great question, too. We really believe that because of the way we do this training, there's a value in having time in between the trainings to reflect and prepare for the next training. And so in the first weekend, we were really focused on Hello and Hope, which was creating connections amongst students across the various schools. Nelson said, really creating opportunities for them to understand one another's cultural identities and build relationships this week, and also identify these maps of harm and healing. Then they get to reflect and come back, and this weekend we'll really be focusing on identifying opportunities to create peace projects and what they actually want to go out and do between now and September 21st, International Peace Day, when we'll celebrate their projects.
Okay, and so what is the expected outcome of this batch? I know the last time there was that interference with COVID, and now you're excited. So what's the outcome as we conclude?
Well, two things. I think you will see that the students will organize as a collective and produce peace projects to build bridges across communities. And you'll see the final results on September 21st, International Peace Day. But I also think what's going to happen, and Nelson is a perfect example, he is an ambassador. You're going to see these 92 students go out to their high schools and university groups and conduct their own sorts of presentations and sessions about peace building. So you'll see it expand over the next few months.
Okay, good. That's very, very good. Nelson, as a peace ambassador, what is your message to the listeners?
My message goes to the young ones, the youth, and my message is that we youth should have clear vision of what peace could look like to us in our distinctive cultures, religion, socioeconomic environment, and in our different communities. And to start also to work towards the realization of that goal. So that is my message to the young ones. We shouldn't just be like, hey, you know, our elders will bring for us peace. There's nowhere we can bring peace from if we, the young ones, the youth, don't start doing activities, programs, and dialogues, debate that brings peace, then there is no way we can attain peace. So it's up to us to start envisioning and act.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your knowledge for peace building. I'm sure those who have missed the training at least have a piece of it. And thank you, Patricia, for also making the time.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good day and all the best with the training this weekend.
Thank you. We can't wait.
Okay. All right. That is a group from Next Gen Peace Builders. And so we have the organization's executive director, Patricia Schaffer, and Nelson, who is now a peace ambassador who got training in 2019.